If you have your Bible and want to share the reading of the Word with me today, I'm going to ask you to turn over to 2 Samuel, and we're going to read from 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. So 2 Samuel chapter 12, beginning with verse number 14. Second Samuel chapter 12, beginning with verse number 14. Nathan the prophet is speaking in the presence of King David. God has sent King David a messenger from God, a prophet by the name of Nathan. And Nathan says to him, this is God speaking to David through Nathan. He says, "Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck that child, Uriah's wife, bare unto David, and he was very sick. David, therefore, besought the Lord for the child. David prayed for the child. The Bible said that David fasted and went in and lay upon the earth all night. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither would he eat bread with them. In other words, David was so intent upon his prayer that he threw himself to the ground, and he lay there on the ground for 7 days fasting and praying that God would spare this child. Those in his entourage and those that were part of his cabinet as David was king over Israel, they went to him and said, "Please, you know, get up. Enough. Enough mourning, enough prayer. But rise and eat." And David would not. And the Bible says in the 18th verse, "And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, 'Behold, while the child was alive, or yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. And how will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead?'" What in the world will he do to himself if we tell him that the child has died? "And David saw that his servants whispered, and David perceived that the child was dead. And therefore David said unto his servants, 'Is the child dead?' And they said, 'He is dead.' Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord, and he worshiped. Then he came into his own house, and when he required, they set before him, or bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, 'What is this thing that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while he was alive, but when the child is now dead, you arise and eat bread.' And David said to them, 'While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again?' And then he answers his own questions and says, 'I shall go to him, but he shall not return unto me.'" And I'm going to stop right there this morning. Ask that you bow your heads and let us pray, all right? Father, we are thankful for the opportunity that we have this morning together here in this place to honor you and to worship you and to give glory unto your name in song and to read your word openly and to study and to reflect upon your word here this morning. I pray that you would open our hearts to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has placed upon my heart. I pray, Lord, that you will place your word in my mind and in my mouth, and that you will let it come forth this morning under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That, Father, you will let everything that is said and everything that is done be done to glorify Christ and to edify and draw your people into a more intimate relationship with you. Help us to understand this morning, Lord, the deep mysteries of the things of God. I pray, Father, that you will give me liberty in the house of the Lord to speak. Give me the divine ability to be effective in ministering your word here today. And we will forever give you the praise. We will forever give you the thanks. We ask it now, Lord, in the mighty and in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement said amen. So I want to title the message this morning, When God Says No. How many of you love it when we pray and we see the answering of our prayer and we see God move and work miracles and we go, thank you, Lord, that's wonderful. But what happens when you pray and God says no? David prayed, and God said no. Let me just share with you this morning as I begin. I believe that our text reveals something to us very instrumental about our God and about the way our God moves and the way our God answers prayer. Let me just say this morning that God answers prayer in one of three ways. You might want to write them down because I assure you, amen, throughout your life, you will experience all three. As a matter of fact, I just simply promise you, you will experience all three. There are times when God answers yes. There are times when God answers yes, but not yet. Yes, but not yet. And then there are times when God will answer no. Now, we like the yes. We're not real fond of the yes, but not yet. Amen. And we are not really all that fond of the no. But God answers in three primary ways our prayer. Yes, yes, but not yet, and no. Now let me just share with you some scriptural examples of what I'm speaking about this morning. When God gives us a promise in His Word, when God speaks to us through His revealed, divine, forever settled word, God's answer to His promises are always yes. As a matter of fact, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 20 that all of the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. Can you say amen? In other words, if God made you a promise in the Word of God, if God made you a promise in His Word, then you can pray with confidence knowing that God not only hears, but that God's answer is yes. Now let me give you another scripture that bears that out. It's 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 14 and verse number 15. The Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, everybody say anything, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And John went on to say, and we know that if he hears us, then whatsoever we ask of him, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. What does that mean? In short, it simply means that when we pray according to the will of God, according to the promise of God, God has assured us that he will hear us and that he will answer us. That's good news. Amen. In other words, if God said, I am the Lord that healeth thee, then he is the Lord that healeth thee. If God said, I am the God that shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, then honey, you can take it to the bank. God will supply your every need. Amen. When God gives us a promise in his word and we pray according to his will and according to his promise, the answer is always yes. Amen. I encourage you this morning, when you have need in your life, find a promise in the word of God and stand on that promise and pray that promise to the Lord. Can you say amen? Remind God of his promises when you pray. Because when God hears the word and God knows the promise, God's answer to our prayer is always yes. Praise God. But there are times that God will say yes, but not now. Yes, but not yet. One of the hardest things for us to do is wait. Can you say amen? Amen? But there are times that God answers our prayer and he says, yes, but not yet. Hang on. Yes, but not now. Yes, but now's not the right time. Let me give you some scriptural examples. Do you remember the 12 spies? Amen. Or the 10 spies. The Bible says that, or it's 12 spies. The Bible said that 10 brought back an evil report. They came back to Moses when Moses sent them to spy out the promised land. They came back and the Bible says that 10 of them said, yeah, it's a great place, but we can't have it. And two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, if God is on our side, then there ain't no giant on the other side that's able to stand against us. Let's go get it at once. Hallelujah. And you know what happened? The people listened to the 10 and they refused to go in. And the Bible says that they angered God because they turned back and they tempted the Holy One of Israel. You'll find that in the book of Psalms. The Bible said they refused to go in because of their doubt and because of their unbelief. And God said, all right, none of this generation will inherit the promised land. You're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And this wicked generation, this unbelieving generation, is going to die off. But Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit, and because they had a believing heart and a believing spirit, they're going to inherit the promise. But you know what Joshua and Caleb had to do before they got the promise? They had to wander with the rest of that bunch for 40 years. That's yes, but not yet. That's yes, but not right now. Amen. How about Abraham? Do you remember the Bible said that Abraham prayed to God? You'll find it in the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis. Abraham prays to God and he says, to me you have given no seed. And this Eleazar, a servant in my house, is an heir to everything that I have. And God said, that's not going to be so. Amen. I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to give you a seed out of your own loins. I'm going to give you a child, child of promise. And you know what? Amen. God answered Abraham's prayer, but it took 25 years. He's 75 years old when God makes him the promise. How many of you know how old Abraham was when Isaac was born? 100. that's yes, but not yet. Yes, I heard your prayer. Yes, I answer your prayer, but not yet. And what do? In that time, we just, like Abraham, we just keep hanging on by faith. I know God said. And when we get weak, we remind God, Lord, you remember what you told me? And in the fullness of God's time, he always answers our prayer with yes and yes, but not yet. But there are times this morning, there are times that we pray and God's answer is no. How do we handle the no? Some people think that God is like a cosmic Santa Claus. He just answers yes to everything we pray. Yes, so be it. Yes, it's yours. How many of you parents here this morning ever had a child ask you for something and you knew that it was not healthy for them and you said no? Does that make you a bad parent? I think not. It makes you a loving parent. Hello? Amen. There are times when God will tell us no, and we think in our mind or in our spirit that it is an unanswered prayer, that God simply did not hear, that God simply will not move, that God simply will not undertake. No, our problem is oftentimes we just can't seem to accept no. Hello? Let me give you some examples of that. If you read 2 Samuel chapter 7, you will read that the Bible said that this same king, King David, he desired with a great desire to build a temple for God. And God said no. Let me give you another example. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7 through verse number 10. And this is the Apostle Paul. The Bible said that the Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And the Bible said that three different times he went to God in prayer. And he said, God, please remove this thorn in my flesh. And three different times, God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. For in your weakness, I am made strong. So in other words, three different times the Apostle Paul went before the Lord, humbled himself and prayed and said, Lord, take this thorn from my flesh. Take this and remove it from me. And three times God said, no, no, I will not do it because in your weakness, I am made strong. Amen. I heard one preacher say that, you know, what the scripture means is, my grace is sufficient. He said what it means is that God was telling Paul that if he just keeps praying long enough, his grace is sufficient to get rid of the thorn. And I'm going to tell you right now, that couldn't be further from the truth. Let me ask you to turn over there with me. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 8. This is Paul speaking. And he said, for this thing, this thorn in his flesh, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And God, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Then Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, listen, he's fixing to tell us what his thorn in the flesh was. He said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen. What was the thorn that he asked God? Amen. It was a buffeting spirit of the enemy that brought persecution and brought buffeting against him and brought hardship against him. And three different times, Paul said, Lord, I need some relief. I need you to remove this messenger of the enemy. I need you to remove it. And God said, no, I'm going to show you my strength and my power through your weakness. So there are times that God answers our prayers with yes. And there are times when God answers our prayers with yes, but not yet. And there are times when God answers our prayers and says no. And that brings us to our text this morning. David prayed, fasted, lay upon the ground for 7 days that God would not take the life of this child. And God allowed the baby to die. Why? Why? Let me give you some historical background concerning the text that we've read this morning. If you were to begin reading in 2 Samuel chapter 11, if you were to begin reading there in chapter 11 of 2 Samuel, the Bible said that it was a time when the kings went to war. But David stayed home. Joab and the men of Israel were out fighting. But David was home. And one evening, David is laying upon his bed, restless in his spirit. Maybe he was thinking about the war. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But what it does say is that he arose off of his bed at evening tide and he walked upon the roof of his home. And there he saw from his palace roof, he saw a beautiful woman washing herself. And he was so intrigued by this beautiful sight, his flesh couldn't help it, and he sent and said, who in the world is that? And it was told to him that that is Bathsheba. Amen. That is another man's wife. That didn't seem to deter David at all. As a matter of fact, the Bible said that he sent for her and told her to come to his palace. And she came. And the Bible said that he slept with her and she conceived with a child. Amen. Historical Josephus, the first century historian, says that she sent a message to David and said, you better think of something because I am with child. So David is about to try to cover his sinful tracks. And David sends a messenger to Joab, who is out on the battlefield, and he says, you tell Joab to have Uriah the Hittite, this woman's husband, you have him come and give me a report of what's going on. So Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, is sent from the battlefield to David's palace. David had a plan. David said, I'll get Uriah home. I'll send him to his own house. And when the baby comes, they'll think it's his. How sneaky. Well, let me tell you what happened. Uriah came and he gave David the report of what was going on the battlefield. And David patted him on the back and said, thank you for bringing the word to me. Now go on down to your house. And all the while, I'm sure David is thinking to himself, I got it covered. Don't nobody know. What he didn't count on was Uriah was a very godly man and a man of character. Uriah didn't go to his house and to his wife. He slept on the king's doorstep all night. And when David found out about it, David said to him, he said, hey, you've come from a far country. You've come on a long journey. Amen. Why didn't you go down to your house? Why didn't you go down to your wife? Why didn't you enjoy the comforts of your own home? Why did you sleep on the doorstep? Uriah said, God forbid that while Joab, my captain, and the men of the king are on the battlefield and sleeping in tents, amen, and on the battlefield, God forbid that I go and enjoy my home and my wife and those things that are fine. Amen, I will not do that. He was a man of character. David had another plan. Well, this might be a little bit tricky. And he said, all right, you stay with me another 2 days, and then you can go back to the battlefield. And the Bible said that at an appropriate time that David called for Uriah the second day that he was home, and he gave him a big feast, and then he got him drunk. How many of you know when you get drunk, you do silly things, and you have a tendency to let down your character? David thought to himself, if I can just get him drunk, if I can get him drunk, I can send him home to be with his wife. He'll weaken. Well, Uriah didn't weaken. He spent the next night on the king's doorstep, refused to go down to his home and refused to go in unto his wife, refused to enjoy the pleasures of marital relation, and refused to enjoy the comforts of his own home, when he knew that his fellow soldiers were sleeping in tents in the field and fighting. And David finally said, all right, none of that worked. I'm going to have to write a note, tell Joab, get him killed. So David sits down and he writes a note to Joab, and he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to put Uriah the Hittite. I want you to put him in a place where the battle is hot. And then I want you to retire from him. In other words, I want you to get him killed. I want you to get him slain. And he folds up the note and puts it in an envelope or puts it in a scroll, and then he seals it and he gives it to Uriah. And Uriah is carrying his own death warrant back to Joab. Now, I'm going to tell you something here this morning. I mean, we all admire King David, and we all admire how wonderful of a man he was. God called him a man after his own heart. But I'm going to tell you something. When David got in the flesh, David made some bad choices. Uriah carries his own death warrant back to Joab. And Joab puts him in the hottest spot of the battle and then retires from him. And Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba's husband, dies on the battlefield. And word is sent back to David that Uriah has perished. King David says, and you'll find it there in that 11th chapter, well, the sword devours both great and small. What he was saying was, well, stuff happens. And really what he was probably thinking was, all right, I just need to get that woman into my palace, get her married, and nobody will think anything else about the child. How deceptive. But the last line of that 11th chapter said, but the Lord was displeased. The Lord was angry with David. The Lord saw the injustice. The Lord saw the conniving, manipulating actions, and he was angry with David. And so David is in his palace thinking that he's got away with it. The Bible said that he called for Bathsheba after her days of mourning, and he brought her into his own home, married her, made her one of his wives, and bore him a male child. But God was not pleased. And God sends Nathan the prophet. Nathan the prophet shows up, and he begins to speak to David, and he gives him a parable to reveal David's sinful ways. I love this parable. I love this part of the story. You'll find it in the first verses of the 12th chapter of the second book of Samuel. Nathan comes before David and he says, let me share something with you, King. He said, there was a rich man and a poor man that lived in the same city. And the rich man had many flocks and many herds and had great abundance, but the poor man, all he had and all that his family had was one little lamb. Just one lamb. And there was a stranger or a traveler that came to visit the wealthy man. And instead of the wealthy man taking a lamb out of his own flock and out of his own herd to prepare and fix a meal for the traveler, he took the poor man's lamb and he slew that lamb and he fed that to the traveler. And he says to David, "What shall be done?" David was angry. I mean, David was furious. He didn't see himself. Isn't it amazing sometimes that we can be in a sinful situation and we can't even recognize it for ourselves? We can't see ourselves in that. David is so angry, he said, "The man that has done this thing shall surely die, and he'll repay that lamb fourfold." And Nathan looked at David and said, "Thou art the man. You are the one that took that man's wife. You had all of these abundance. You had all of the wives and all of the things that God has blessed you with, but that wasn't enough. You had to go meddling in somebody else's life." David recognized his own sin in that parable. And he fell before the Lord and repented. And God forgave him of that sin. And that brings us to our text. But God said through Nathan, "Howbeit, because you have given an occasion for the nations of the earth round about to blaspheme God," blaspheme me, he said, "the child will surely die." What God was saying is, if I allow you to get away with this, if I allow you to just go on your way as if nothing happened, with no consequences, every nation around will blaspheme me, saying that the God of Israel is not a holy God. The God of Israel is not a just God. The God of Israel is not a God of judgment. The God of Israel is not a God of punishment. The God of Israel allows some king to take another man's wife, have the man murdered, and God's all right with that. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, God was not all right with that. And God said, "The child shall surely die." And so David puts on sackcloth, smears ashes upon his face, and he lays himself upon the ground. And for 7 days he prays, and for 7 days he asks God to spare the child. And God says, "No." And the child died. So let me ask you this morning, what do you do when you pray and God says no? We love it when we pray and God says yes. We love it when we pray and God moves and we see the answer. But what do you do when you pray and God says no? I remember when my children were small. All children do it. But I remember when my children were small, they would come to me at times and ask me for something, and I would tell them no. And then their lip would fall. "Do you want some supper?" "No, I'm not hungry." Have you ever had any of your kids go pouting? You know what I told mine? I said, "You know, your problem is maybe I need to tell you no more often so you know how to accept no." Hello? What do we do when God says no? Well, I'll tell you what a lot of people do. A lot of people go, well, then I'm just not going back to church. That's how you want to be. Or I'm not going to tithe anymore. I'm going to take my marbles and go home. Hello? Let me tell you what David did. David gets the answer from God. The child dies. David gets up off the earth, washes his face, changes his clothes, and he goes to the house of God to worship. And he gives God praise and gives God glory. Let me just tell you something this morning. What do you do when God answers no? You have two choices. You can either pout, you can cop an attitude, or you can say, God, I recognize that your ways are higher than my ways and your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And I recognize that you are working all things out for my good, because the word of God declares that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. God, amen, I may not see the whole picture, but Lord, I trust in you and I know you've got my best interest at heart. And I know, even though you said no, I'm going to keep on worshiping. I'm going to keep on praising. I'm going to keep on loving. I'm going to keep on being faithful. I'm going to keep on living for my God. Hallelujah. No is not easy to accept. No is not easy to accept. But I will tell you this morning, God sees the beginning, amen, to the end. And God knows what is best for us in our lives. I was in Northern California preaching a revival. There was a young man. There was a young man that was in that revival service. He was so on fire for God. It just blessed my soul. And someone said to me, you should have known him before he really got saved. Wow, I'm going to tell you what a difference. I said, is that right? Oh, he has quite a testimony. I got a chance to talk with this young man a little bit later. He said, I was in a bad place in my life. He said, I was doing things that I knew I should not be doing. I was running around with company that I knew I shouldn't be company with. And he said, I was working on a prison in Susanville, California, helping to build it. And he said, I was drinking and drugging and carrying on and doing things. And he said, I've got a praying mother and a praying grandmother and I've got a praying family. And he goes, I was sitting having lunch one day. And he said, I was sitting on a window sill, and he said, on the block, he said, I carved my initials with a screwdriver. He said, I'd finished my sandwich and I was just sitting there carving my initials on that window sill. He said, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, if he ever spoke to me. And he said, if you don't change your way, you're going to end up right here. He said, I heard it. I knew. But he said, I shook it off. 5 years later, he was in that same penitentiary. And he said, one day I happened to go to the window sill. And he said, I looked down and there were my initials carved into the block where I had sat when I built it. And he said, the words that the Lord spoke to me came back to me. If you don't change your life and change your way, you're going to wind up right here. He never changed. He never altered his path.
And God brought him right back to that place. But now let me tell you what God did with the young man's life. After he did his time, he got radically saved in that prison. And when he got out, he began to minister and began to work for the Lord. What I'm telling you this morning is that God sees the beginning to the end, and God's no, amen, can work for that benefit or the good of that thing that we are praying about. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 9, God says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Amen. What we need to do is put our trust in the Lord. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 and verse number 6, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge God, and he will direct our path." In other words, amen, in the yes and in the yes, yes, but not yet. And in the no, what we have to do is just trust God. This message that I'm preaching this morning, God began to lay it upon my heart long about Thursday of this last week as I begin to pray and begin to seek the Lord for this service. And the Lord just spoke to my spirit and said, there are some that are going to be there, amen, that need to hear this word. They need to hear that I'm not a cosmic Santa Claus and just answer yes, 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 whatever you want, yes, yes, yes. No, God doesn't answer that way. God answers yes according to his promise. God answers yes. But hold on, not yet. There's another time coming. And there are times when God will say, no, I got something better in mind. Amen. Even though we cannot see it. And the Lord spoke to me as well and said, and there are others that will be sitting here in this service and listening by the internet. There are others that will need to hear this word and need to remember this word, that God does not always answer yes. There are times when God says no. Every good parent does. Amen? Every good parent does. Kids may not understand it. Sometimes we may not understand it. I don't know why, God, why? I mean, it looked like if you would just do this, 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 and this would happen, and it would all work out great. God says, no, the problem is if I did this and then this happened, then they would do that. And it would all fall apart. Sometimes a little tough love helps keep us on the right track. Amen? Bow your heads, please, this morning. Bow your heads this morning. David is such a great example. God said no. David said, all right, Lord, I'm not going to pout about it. I'm not going to pout about it. I'm going to get up and I'm going to get myself ready and I'm going to go to the house of God and I'm going to worship and I'm going to praise your name. I may not understand, but what I do is I trust you, Lord, and I believe that you're working everything out for the proper good. My knowledge is limited, but Lord, I trust you. I trust that you are my heavenly Father, that you know what is best for each of us. And therefore, God, I accept your no. I accept your no. And I'm not going to pout about it. I'm just going to keep on worshiping and keep on praising and keep on glorifying your name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, in the precious, wonderful, sweet and marvelous name of your Son, Jesus, we thank you that you are a God this morning that answers prayer, even if the answer is no. We thank you that you are a God that answers prayer even when the answer is no. This morning, Heavenly Father, I pray that you will allow the word that has been ministered here in this house to just seep into our hearts, flow into our spirit this morning. Help us to understand that, yes, you are a God that answers yes. You are a God that answers yes, but not yet. And you are a God that says, no, child, I have something else in mind. No, child, I have something else for you. Help us to follow David's example this morning, I pray, oh God. That when those times come in our life and, Lord, your answer is no, that we, like David, will arise, go to the house of the Lord and worship and accept the no as your perfect will. Lord, I pray that you'll touch our hearts, prepare our spirits, help us to grow by that. Let it impact us. Let it help to mature us, to raise us up in greater strength, greater understanding of you and your word, and draw us into a more intimate relationship with our loving Father. I ask it in Jesus' name. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. How many of you sitting here this morning would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I needed to hear this word today. Yeah, I needed to hear this word today. I needed to hear this word today. Hands all over the place. Amen. Hands all over the place. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet this morning. Everyone, just slip your hands up. Allow me to pray with you and allow me to dismiss us. Heavenly Father, you saw every single hand and you see every single struggle. Some struggles, just like David, of our own making. Some struggles, just like David, of our own doing. Be merciful to us. Let your precious blood cleanse us. Let our hearts, I pray, oh God, receive your perfect will with an attitude of worship, praise, and gratitude unto you. You see every need and every hand that was lifted. I pray, oh God, that you will sweetly reach down and just touch these, your people, this morning, strengthening them and giving them peace in their hearts, peace in their spirit, I pray. Lord, as we dismiss and we go to our own homes this morning, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will go with us and that you will be with us throughout the remainder of this week. Let your favor and your grace and your goodness and mercy rest upon us. Give us opportunity to witness, testify of your wonderful, wonderful, wonderful power. Go with us now, Lord, and bring us back at the appointed time. We ask it in the name of Jesus, and we give you praise for it. We give you thanks for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen.